For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 today. And man, it's good to have all these all these young men sitting on the front row here, ready to amen. Amen. Ready to amen. Ready to go. Amen. Good. Hey, there's one back there. Good. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, in a church that's alive, you have, unfortunately, I think of this weekend. I think of all that's happening. I think of these mothers-to-be in our church that are expecting, and we rejoice in that. I think of those that we said goodbye to this past week and again yesterday at the funeral homes. I think of the Herdmans, I think of the Roberts, I think of the Conleys, and on and on. And then I think of these little ones and families that are beginning. And so it is the cycle that we call life. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and then yesterday, you think about a new home being established. You think of Isaac and Grace coming together in holy matrimony, and your heart's stirred in all of that. Your heart's stirred in that. And so we should be reminded in our church this week, just this week, those that have gone to heaven, those that are coming into this world, those that are in another chapter joining together in holy matrimony, and on and on, and serving, and we're all preparing to go to heaven. And the home is a great picture, of course, in the book of Ephesians, of the bridegroom and the bride and all of that, the Lord Jesus and the church. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 1, though, we see a story of a family. We see a story of a woman named Hannah. And the Scripture says that Hannah was provoked within her home, and the Bible tells us her husband's name was Elkanah, or her husband's name was Peninnah, or Elkanah. And within that home was another wife, and that was part of the culture of the day, was Peninnah. Peninnah had children and Hannah had none. And to be without a child back in that day, in that culture, was viewed as really a curse. It was viewed as something that it broke your heart. People wanted children. They wanted to build families. They wanted to have large families. They wanted to have children to honor God. Hannah wanted to have children. By the way, God reports, you know, the Bible's an honest book. The Bible reports that, but it doesn't recommend that. It reports that Elkanah had two wives, but it doesn't recommend that. Doesn't recommend that at all. And so, in all of that, the Bible says Hannah was provoked and brokenhearted. In bitterness of soul, she asked God to give her a child. Not only to give her a child, but notice here, it says in verse 11, a man child, a boy. It said in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she said, oh God, give me a son. Give me a son. Well, God heard her prayer. I think there's something about a mother's prayer that, I mean, God hears all of our prayers. But boy, there's something about a mother's prayer that gets through. I don't know if I can prove that with Scripture, but there's something about that. There's something about a mother's prayer. And she's praying, oh God, and the Bible says that Eli, the priest, the high priest, was not where he should have been. His sons were not where they should have been. And even though he was in Shiloh and installed as priest, he was not a good example. But he did notice this praying woman named Hannah. In fact, it had been so long since he'd seen a praying woman, he accused her of being drunk. She's over there weeping and crying and her lips were moving, but she wasn't saying anything, but she was saying something to God. And he accused her of being drunk. She said, oh my Lord, no, I'm not drunk. I'm burdened. I'm burdened. God give us some burdened mothers these days. And she said, this is what I'm asking God. And God heard her prayer And God answered her prayer. God gave her peace. It says in verse 18, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I think this is a good example. Over here in the mountains, sometimes we hear the phrase praying through. I think she prayed through. I think God lifted her burden. God gave her peace. By the way, you don't have to pray through for salvation. If you repent of sin and come to Jesus Christ by faith and acknowledge your sin before God, hey, listen, as you turn your heart toward God, before even a word is prayed, God's heard your prayer. God knows that. I think praying through has more for God's people, where we come with a burden. Now, certainly the burden of sin, there's something about breaking through to God. I understand all of that, and I don't want to argue phrases here, but listen. You come to God, He'll save you. But there's times in prayer where we labor in prayer, and I think that's where Hannah was right here. God lifted her burden. She walked away with peace of heart, and her countenance was no more sad. And it says in verse 19, the Lord remembered Hannah. Isn't it good that God doesn't forget us? I might forget a name. You might forget a name, but God doesn't. And so it came to pass in verse 20, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, 9 months or so. They don't say that anymore, do they? They go weeks. 47 weeks later. Some of you ladies, you felt like, how many of you feel like it was 47 weeks? Yeah. I'm not going there. That's not my department. I'll let you ladies talk about that in the nursery. But 9 months later, verse 20, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. And notice saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Samuel's name meant that his mother had asked God for him. Oh, on a day when so many babies never have the opportunity to breathe the air of this world. But I want you to know they're breathing celestial air. They're breathing heavenly air. I believe we still have some women and men of God who want to have children, and they're asking God for children, and they're praising God for children. The gift and the giver is God. And the man Elkanah, verse 21, and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow, but Hannah went not up, verse 22, for she said unto her husband, I'll not go up until the child be weaned. You know why she said that? She said, I'm going to spend all the time I can with him. Because when he gets up to a certain age, I'm taking him to Eli. I'm going to Shiloh, and I'm going to leave him there. I'm going to give him to God. And she used the phrase, I'm going to lend him to the Lord. Is that not what our children are? We lend our children to the Lord. They're lent to the Lord. As long as he lives, she said, he's lent to the Lord. He was asked of God. And look in verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said in verse 26, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. And these are the two verses I want to spend just a couple of moments on today, verse 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Our Father, bless, I pray, the reading, the preaching of your word today. Again, bless these parents and grandparents and children today in Christ's name. Amen. The story of Hannah. A woman that was provoked. A woman that prayed in bitterness of soul. A woman that prayed specifically. I want to give you three thoughts here in these two verses. First of all, look in verse 27. First of all, notice she asked. You say, preacher, I was waiting for some tremendous truth here. That's the tremendous truth. Look in verse 27. For this child I prayed. I asked. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And I think we ought to ask about everything. And certainly we ought to ask about our family. Here's Hannah, whose womb was barren. Here's Hannah. Every day she probably saw Peninnah around the house feeding her children and changing diapers. And no doubt she loved her children. But every day she thought, oh God, I'd sure like to raise a son. And if you'll give me a son, I'll raise him for you. I'll raise him for you. May I ask you a question today? What world are we raising our children? Are we raising them for the world? Are we raising them for what we have designed for them? Are we raising them? Certainly all of our children are bent a different way. The scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, all children are not going to be bent this way or that way. We have to help them find the will of God for their lives. But remember, when you ask God, oh God, give me a healthy son, give me a healthy daughter, give me children, oh God. Remember that, for this child I pray. I want you to know God remembers that. As we look back at those months, as we look back at the marriage altar, as we look back at those days and the excitement, the first trip to the doctor, the first ultrasound picture, all of that. For this child I prayed, I asked, and God answered. That's the second point. She asked, and God answered. Look, if you will, in chapter 1 and verse 20, the scripture says, wherefore it came to pass about the time, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. You know, a name means something. His name meant ask of the Lord. Ask of the Lord. This child is the child, dear God, I prayed for. And you've given me my petition. You know what? I believe there's a responsibility that goes with that. That child that we prayed for, as God came through, and He always comes through. As God gives us that baby, we have a great and grave responsibility to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Surely we want them to have a good education. Surely we want them to be socially able to function. Certainly we want them to do well in school and to find their path through life. But ultimately, what is our goal? Our goal ought to be to raise up children to find the will of God, to raise our children up to be saved and then to walk with God and learn to make decisions and learn how to pray and learn how to face the obstacles and the challenges and the problems of life with God's help and to raise them up to leave us. That's really what we're doing. We're raising them to leave us. That's a hard statement to make, isn't it? Call it an empty nest or whatever you call it, but as we raise them, we're raising them and preparing them. And if we're not preparing them, we're doing them a great injustice. Need to teach them right, teach them wrong, and tell them what right is and what wrong is. Teach them what a home is. And more than teaching them, but live in front of them what a home is. What is a dad and what is a mother? According to the scriptures, God designed it all. For this child I prayed. She asked. And secondly, God answered. And notice her allegiance to that. Therefore, verse 28, that's the responsibility, the obligation. Also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. We lend our children to God. And God has just given us, he's just given us and allowed us a space of a few years to train them up. Last week we had these graduates up here, and some are going to college, some are going to the Marine Corps. I see Dakota here today, and going in all different directions. A new chapter in life. But I want you to know the God that was the God in the home in those teen years and those junior years and those primary years and those diaper years ought to be now the same God that will help you on to the next level of life. There's an allegiance there. She said, I've lent him to the Lord. I promise God. The Bible says she made him a little mantle. Not Mickey Mantle. She wasn't training him to be a ball player. She was training him to serve God, to be God's man. She made him a little prophet's mantle. And she took him up there, and the hardest thing that she ever did was hand him off to Eli, the priest. She'd ask, and God answered, and there was an allegiance to that commitment. And because of that, God used a praying mother named Hannah. In chapter 3, Samuel was there at Shiloh at the priest's house. And one night he heard a voice in the middle of the night. Samuel! Samuel! And he woke up and he went into Eli and said, yes, what would you like? What do you need? He said, I didn't call you. 3 times that happened. And Eli still had enough spirituality about him to give him some good advice. And he said, son, if you hear that again, you just simply look up to the sky or lift your voice to God and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. God still speaks to children. God still saves children. God calls children. Most of the missionaries over the years, many of them have been saved and called in their junior years, 10, 11, 12 years old. And it says in verse 4 that the Lord, chapter 3, called Samuel and he answered, here am I. Oh, how we need to train some children to answer God. Lord, here I am. Whatever you want. You want me to be a lawyer? I'll be a lawyer. You want me to be a preacher? I'll be a preacher. You want me to be a teacher? I'll be a teacher. If you want me to be a truck driver, I'll be a truck driver. You want me to work in the plant? I'll work in the plant. But I'm going to be a Christian plant worker and a Christian truck driver and a Christian teacher. A Christian coach. He said in verse 10, Samuel. Samuel then answered Samuel, speak for thy servant heareth. As a result of that, in verse 15, chapter 3, Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. It was a new day in Israel because the Bible says the word of God was precious in those days. That's a good King James word. It means it was scarce. It says because of that, verse 21, it says, they knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. He opened the doors again in the house of God. The light came back on in the house of God. God began to move in Israel again. Why? Because a young man named Samuel listened for the voice of God and answered for the voice of God because he had a praying mother who had asked God, God, give me a son. If you'll give me a son, I'll raise him for you. Whatever you want me to do. And he became the last judge and the first of the prophets. Samuel would be such a thorn in the side of the devil that he would bring him back from the dead in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and he would give a message to a backslidden king named Saul from the grave. One of the most amazing stories in all the Bible. For this child, I prayed, and the Lord, whose good hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Don't forget what you prayed for. Therefore, I've lent him to the Lord. That's what I pray these parents were doing today. They're lending their children to God. Lending them. Lending them. Oh God, help me. Help me not just to have a baby, but to be a parent. To be a parent. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there.